Schlachter.
West of Asia again here on RN Drive as we take a close-up look to the world around us. Today, a close-up look at a young man, relatively unknown in life, but very well known in death. In fact, his death turned him, posthumously, into the face of a revolution. I'm talking about Khalid Said, who died in June 2010 following a police beating. A Facebook group sprung up, as these things tend to, which was called We Are All Khalid Said, and it raised the profile of the incident and helped channel public discontent over police suppression and other issues that were simmering just under the surface of Egyptian society, which then boiled over into the story that we are now all familiar with and goes by many names: the Arab uprisings, the Arab Spring, the Egyptian Revolution. I'll leave you to select the name that you prefer. Khalid Said's face and name are everywhere now in Egypt. But who was he? Does it matter if he was less than perfect as a human being? In a moment, you're going to meet someone who knew him, but our expert guide will take us there. His name is Anthony Bubalo. You'll know him, of course. He's the West Asia Program Director with the Lowy Institute. Thanks for coming in again, Bubs.
Not a problem. Great to be back.
How important is Khalid Said in understanding the way that Egyptian society has evolved over the last year or two?
Look, you know, in the same way that Mohamed Bouazizi, the Tunisian fruit and vegetable vendor whose act of self-immolation triggered the Tunisian uprising and ultimately the Arab uprisings, Khalid Said has come to personify the Egyptian uprising. And he symbolises a great many things to a great many people, and today still revered as a martyr of the Egyptian uprising, even though his death preceded the uprising by some months.
Is it because we need martyrs for these sorts of revolutionary causes, that we need emblems and symbols?
We need emblems and symbols, and we need to put a face to this kind of stuff. And I think one of the reasons why the Egyptian uprising and the Arab uprisings have succeeded is because they brought a level of popular involvement to kind of opposition to the government that wasn't there before. And I think something about Khalid Said touched a lot of Egyptians, particularly a lot of middle-class Egyptians, who, you know, might not have liked the old Mubarak regime, but it was something about how he was treated that touched them and compelled them to participate in the uprising and ultimately overthrow the Mubarak regime.
So I mentioned that he became a symbol of police repression or suppression. Did he come to symbolise anything else?
Look, I mean, it's an interesting question. I think there are all sorts of different ways that you can look at Khalid Said as a member of a younger generation that was struggling against a very paternalistic state in Egypt. And one of the great themes, I think, not just of the uprising in Egypt, but of the Arab uprisings in general, was this generational clash. And it wasn't just, you know, younger people against the regime, but also young people, even within opposition movements, against the kind of older generation leaders and the old ways of even opposition politics that people are struggling against. So in that sense, he picks up that generational feel to the Arab uprisings. Also the sense of frustration about, you know, that he's dealing with many things that ordinary young people are dealing with in life. Things are not going his way. And then you have this awful intervention by the state, by the police, that brings his life to an end. And I think that also struck a chord for a lot of young Egyptians.
Well, you've done something very good for us today. You've managed to find someone who grew up in his hood and who's now in our hood. So that's a very good get, Anthony. It's pretty hard to find someone in that category. Who are we meeting?
Look, we've got a young guy with us today, Amro Ali, who's a young Egyptian-Australian researcher. He's currently doing his PhD at Sydney Uni. And he was born in the same neighbourhood as Khalid Said in Alexandria. And he's done a wonderful profile of Khalid Said. He's looking at this question of who was Khalid Said, trying to get behind the myth. And this was published a couple of months ago in the online magazine Jadali. It's worth a read. And I thought it'd be great to bring Amro on today and talk to him about the Khalid Said that he's discovered.
Marhaban, Amr. Good to have you on the show.
Hello, Walid. Thank you.
Your article starts from the premise that we need to understand who Khalid Said wasn't, that there's a lot of mythology surrounding him, and that needs to be corrected. He wasn't a saint. Why do you think it's necessary to make that point?
Because there are many Khalid Saids out there. That's what I actually say in the article. There are many Khalid Saids who have fallen into the same sort of trap of drug abuse, some religious extremism, depression, others who have this strong desire to immigrate, which Khalid was, I would say, one of the leading proponents of trying to do on back on that street. So it's just to humanize them again, to show that there are many Khaled Saeeds out there on standby. And, you know, as I say, Khaled was not from another planet. You know, he was a product of contemporary Egyptian society and a byproduct of the troubled youth generation that had no socio-political outlet to put their voice out there.
But that might just only make his symbol more potent. I mean, how is it that people are seeing him? How is he being sanctified?
Do you mean outside the neighborhood?
Yeah.
It depends on who you ask, because Khaled's mythologization depends on one's politics. So, for example, the 6th of April youth movement and those who fall into the revolutionary movements, etc., they put him up as a, you know, up on a pedestal, the wholesome Khaled that can do no wrong. If someone is from the Fulul, which means the regime remnants, they will, you know, look at him as the drug user Khaled or marijuana martyr, as they once tactlessly called him.
Right.
So, you know, it really goes. But across the board, he's got a very high profile, but also the media and the nationalist commentators weighed in order to eclipse Mohamed Bouazizi, because they didn't like the idea that Tunisia bruised Egypt's ego. Like, he was big in the 6 months before the revolution, but then he just took on, you know, more of a deified appearance after the revolution.
We don't need a Tunisian hero. We've got one of our own. That kind
exactly.
of thing.
And yeah. we joke about it and all, but it's quite serious in the Egyptian discourse. Yeah.
One of the things that people are saying is that one of the reasons that Khaled Saeed resonated was that he came from a middle class or lower middle class background. So you saw kind of people like Wael Ghanim, the kind of Google executive that helped to set up his Facebook page and who was then a prominent figure in the uprising. They felt this kind of connection with him because he was middle class. And also because it was that abandonment by the middle class of Mubarak that led to his downfall. How true do you think that is?
I think it's very true, because as Ashraf Khalil in his book on the Liberation Square, he says when Kabir, who was a bus driver, and he was tortured in 2006 in a police station, and you know the video was put up on YouTube and all that, he said no one made a We Are All Kabir Facebook page or a website, because no one could really relate to a bus driver. But many factors just worked with Khaled Saeed. First of all, he was middle class, cause, and this is historically true, that usually low socioeconomic backgrounds are abandoned or not seen. And this it makes a difference. If Khaled had died in the slums or in prison, no one would have noticed. But because it happened in public, that was another factor. Also, he died in Alexandria. This makes another difference, because this tilts the scale. Because reinforced by the popular arts, Alexandria tends to be associated with positive connotations in Egypt, such as romance, escapism, summer holidays,
the beach,
etc. The beach, of course. Had Khaled died in Soheg or Aswan, he would have gone unnoticed. Another important factor was that Khaled had no ideological leanings. He was not in any political movement. So every Egyptian, Muslim, Coptic, etc., could claim ownership of Khaled as their everyday Egyptian. Timing was important as well. You can't discount that. We're talking about a Mubarak era that had reached the end of its tether. And we saw that when Mohammed al-Baradei arrived in February 2010, he was treated like a messiah. Egypt was desperately looking for saints and figures during that year.
It's interesting, because the way you describe him makes him sound like the perfect symbol, because he's all reflection but no content. That is, you can make of him what you will. You can project yourself onto him, and everyone has the capacity to do that because of the various connections that you've made. And so it makes me wonder, in that context, why do you think that there's a need to burst the mythology? Does the mythology even matter? Does it matter that he's not a saint? Isn't he a powerful emblem either way?
You know, as an academic, I have this obsession with trying to get to the accuracy and the truth of anything. The issue with Khaled Saeed was more personal. I felt my friends were affected by it in good and bad ways, but the bad ways in the sense that the ones who were sort of in that line of that lifestyle of Khaled needed to feel some sort of empowerment. So I discovered this in the 6 months when I was doing the research on Khaled. Oh, by the way, I just have to notice I couldn't say anything, so I didn't before the police officer's trial, so I don't prejudice that, which was last October.
Okay.
So I waited till after that. In the 6 months that I was doing it, I caused a lot of hostility on my street, really, basically, towards me. No one wanted to give me outright information on Khaled. I knew many of the things about Khaled, but I needed eyewitnesses. I saw this as a way of saying that there's a serious problem in Egypt right now. There's a dysfunctional social system that Khaled was a product of, and it needs major addressing. And the problem with deifying Khaled is that it absolves Khaled of drug abuse. And when you do that, you leave open the interpretation that anyone who does drug abuse is a fair game to a police lynching.
What's the reaction been, now that the story's published, what's the reaction been amongst Khaled's friends, but also amongst other Egyptians?
The immediate friends, the people I interviewed, I showed them the article, they were happy with it. But I also tested the waters just to see what the reaction will be. So I said to them, Khaled did this and this. So those who are not so familiar with Khaled, as soon as you say that he was doing drugs, they immediately say, then he cannot be a martyr. He cannot represent us. I've been trying to get the name changed to officially, legally, to Khaled Said Street. The youth have put up a sign that says Al-Shahid, Al-Shahid Khaled Said, Shahr al-Shahid, which means martyr Khaled Said Street. The problem is, when I go around asking, for example, the Baba, saying, are you going to accept this? And he'll say, no, he doesn't deserve to have the street named after him. And we should have someone like a hero from the 1973 October War. And it's really saddened me, because although Khaled didn't intend to be a revolution martyr, but this street made history. And he played a role, even though he didn't determine it. So even though I demythologize him, still he's a very important figure to Egypt. And I felt this on the 6th of June this year, during the second anniversary of his death, when Hamdine Sabahi and all the Abul Fulul and all these the who's who of the Egyptian Revolution basically came to commemorate Khaled Said on that street. I did not see a single person from my neighborhood out on the street. Now, some had the vantage point of the balconies, okay, but not all would have. And when I tried to get them out, you know, it was just not easy, because they would say things like, we never went out before for him, why should we go out now?
Look, it's the nature of symbols, isn't it, that they are perpetually contested and deconstructed and reconstructed, and sometimes for our own purposes, and sometimes they reflect truth and sometimes they don't. I guess that's what we're dealing with. Look, you've taken us into a really fascinating aspect of the uprising. It's been great to have the opportunity to do that, Amro, and thanks very much for coming in. Shukran.
Shukran, Willie. Thank you.
Anthony, shukran to you. Thanks for coming in again. Always shukran. Good to have you on the program. We'll speak again soon.
Cheers.
Anthony Bubalo, West Asia Program Director, and Amro Ali, a young Egyptian-Australian researcher who's doing his PhD at the University of Sydney. And he's written an article, of course, taking a closer look at the question, who was Khaled Said? That article will be posted on our website if you'd like to read it.